Hey, Dale, how are you?
I'm good, Ian.
Good. I'm excited about this series within our series of podcast that's pressing into our spiritual life checkup. And we did a little preview of that last week, and that was really good.
Yeah, our goal was for that to be on video. Didn't quite. We're trying again today.
Right.
But Ash Wednesday was yesterday, and here at our church in Jacksonville at Southside, our church, different small groups and studies all throughout the church are doing the spiritual life checkup as sort of a way to move through Lent to, as we move toward Easter, celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We're also remembering the components of repentance and humility before God and seeking to grow in our faith. And this is just one of our tools here that we're using to move toward that end.
Right. So for those of you who are coming off of Mardi Gras celebration, right into the Ash Wednesday service, we had a great Ash Wednesday service here at Southside Methodist, which was led by children
and
really
great.
Went through why do we do this? What is it about? What are we about to enter into this season of Lent?
Right.
And it was just, I thought, it was just great.
They did a great job.
They sure did.
It's very meaningful.
Yeah.
And last week, we're trying to stay a week ahead for folks to be able to watch this or listen to this. And by the way, on the webpage, you can download the podcast now and listen to it, you know, whenever you are able to. So you're not bound by having to be stuck on the website to listen to it. But last week we talked about sort of introducing, you know, what a spiritual inventory is,
right?
Why doing it during Lent is a good idea, and we talked about the devotional life, which sort of covered, the really important topic of being God-centered,
mm-hmm.
The life of worship,
right?
Prayer, the devotional, all those things that might be part of the devotional life. And so this morning, we're going to move toward the idea of the intellectual life. And I was thinking about it this week. I was explaining this to someone who's going to be leading a group and trying to help them, you know, kind of figure out how they might want to approach this with their small group. And really, this is five parts of the same Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we can do sometimes is look at it and say, well, this is the part I like.
Right.
So I'm going to just, it's like the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I like the love, but the self-control or the patience, that's for somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else's fruit.
Or maybe the Beatitudes, you know. Mm-hmm. Mercy's okay, but I don't like this particular part. But really, it's describing what the whole Christian looks like.
Right, right, right.
And that's really the way this is put together, mm-hmm. is for us to think about, last week was the devotional life. So how's my heart inclined toward God?
Mm-hmm.
Is it centered in who God is and how he relates to my life? Do I understand worship as more than just 60 minutes on a Sunday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Not to minimize that by any means, but do I see all of life as worship?
Right.
And you know, what does that mean? And that's just an opportunity for conversation. And so this morning, each part of this spiritual life checkup has the sort of diagnostic questions
mm-hmm.
that it asks us to think about. But there's also a little devotion that goes with it as well that sort of just hits generally,
right.
maybe even loosely, on the that particular topic. But I thought, you know, as I was kind of going back through it, getting ready for today, I was thinking, you know, the scripture that is used in that devotion is an important scripture, I think, for this topic. But really one that might even be better is Romans 12:2 about don't be conformed to this world,
mm-hmm.
but be transformed
right.
by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
Then you can know what God's good, pleasing, and you know all the rest of it, the will is of God. And I just thought that's really the idea. It's the the renewing of our minds, because
right.
you know, we're to love God
mm-hmm.
not just with feeling and emotion, but he says, love the Lord your God with all all your heart, soul, strength, and mind.
Right.
And there are some segments of Christianity, and then I really think a lot of people outside the Christian faith think it's just sort of all a visceral emotional experience, and they don't really fully appreciate that we're also to engage God with our minds and to think Christianly
mm-hmm.
and biblically, which I think is an important idea. So that's kind of what this part, you know, if I were to summarize it, that would be a way to approach that.
Right. Well, that's good. And it's like we've talked about before, the whole purpose of this little exercise over the, not just for Lent, you can do this at any time, but we're doing this as a community, and we encourage folks to take advantage of this time of Lent, not as introspection, just like self-help,
right?
But really where you're leading to, the transformation is something that God is doing to and through and with us,
right?
As a process, like the Colossian text talks about.
Mm-hmm.
He began the good work,
right?
By the way, and he continues that. And this idea of being in Christ,
right,
is a big, big idea, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, I think at our church, you're going to be preaching in 2 weeks.
So, looking for some great ideas here.
Yeah. So, well, I was just thinking, but you had mentioned, I think, the other day about that idea of being rooted, mm-hmm, in Christ, mm-hmm, and then built up.
Right.
And that idea of our foundation, which is certainly, gosh, it's a central Christian idea, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think about the very last thing Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount are the wise and foolish builders.
Right.
And it's so interesting because he presents this idea that they both look alike. If you just look externally, you know, from the outside, looking at these two houses, mm-hmm, you can't tell any difference, but the difference comes by what they built their house upon.
Right.
And that, you know, you discover that in the struggles of life.
Yeah.
You know, right, the storms come and it blows down one because it was built on sand.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, they both heard my words,
mm-hmm,
but only the one who built it on a rock was the one who heard my words and then put it into practice.
Right.
And I think that's the idea that Paul's talking about being rooted in, mm-hmm, Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation.
Right.
But then built up as well.
Right.
That there's something that happens after the being rooted part.
Yeah.
And that's the Christian life.
Right.
Of which, you know, the intellectual life, the life of the mind. Not just purely to live in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the purpose. Just, you know, so we can go win Bible trivia contest and, mm-hmm, you know lots of facts and information. But for the purpose of our lives being transformed, back to Romans 12, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the renewing is for the transformation of the life.
Right.
In which case, that will also help us transform whatever sphere of influence we have, wherever we may be in life.
And the idea that Jesus desires for us to be like-minded,
right,
and to have the mind of Christ,
yes,
that's a big idea.
That's so key.
And how is that even possible by ourselves? We can't, mm-hmm, because God's ways are so big, unfathomable in many ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he decides to be very intentional toward us,
mm-hmm,
and show us everything we need, which I think that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Provides perfectly for us right where we are,
right,
to show us exactly how to have a relationship, to grow in him. I mean, he's set the table for us, right?
Yeah. That whole idea, I'm glad you said that mind of Christ is, I was just reading something the other day on that, and, you know, I was having my mind blown, mm-hmm, as I was reading about the mind of Christ, because it's a work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I think 1 Corinthians 2, you know, where he talks about the spiritual person is of the Spirit, and we have the mind of Christ, and so much of the New Testament, and we really would say all of Scripture for that matter, but it's an exposition on the mind of Christ as being just a key component of becoming a person in Christ, being conformed to his likeness,
mm-hmm,
and then, you know, representing him in this world. One of the things we were talking about in the Bible study I was teaching yesterday is that, and I didn't really fully appreciate this till I studied it, was that sort of the definitions of apostle and ambassador are very similar in that they are sent under the authority of another to represent the other person with their message and not your own message.
Mm-hmm,
and ambassador, right, and apostle both sort of have some common definitions there. And if we are going to represent Christ in this world and represent and share his message under his authority and his lordship,
mm-hmm,
that's going to require that our minds are shaped,
right,
by the mind of Christ and not just sort of coming up with our own stuff.
That's right.
So, and it, you know, it's not really just even the content, although certainly that's crucial, but it's how we communicate it. And, you know, and it informs how we even live our lives so that when people sort of, you know, people will inspect our lives.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, you know, does this message match this life?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a both and. It's never a neither or.
That's
right. It's always a both and. And I just think this idea of the intellectual life. I would hate for someone to come away from this thinking this is only about, you know, learning more stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, but instead, we are to continually to be growing and learning, but for a purpose. That's not the end. Right. You know, the end is the conformity to Christ.
Right. Well, I think you summarized it well in the Romans text, that God's objective is for our transformation, mm-hmm. for our good and His glory, really. You know, so He's making us into His, and we tend to think it's about us, mm-hmm. usually that's our
right.
default.
Right.
Or even with good intent to try to better ourselves, or like a self-help kind of approach to being more presentable to God. And a sort of, that's a very slippery slope.
Right.
He's calling us into relationship where He is doing the transformation. And I think so the idea of Him sharing His thoughts by the power of the Holy Spirit, He's our advocate, our counselor,
right.
The one who lets us in on what He's thinking about. Even as we read His word, He gives us insight as to what His word is actually saying to us.
Right.
So we are the object, and this is, I think, the bottom line, we're the object of His affection mm-hmm. as daughters and sons, right? Mm-hmm. So He loves us so much that He's bringing us into how we're really created to be with Him and with one another.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a good segue to start moving in through, you know, the actual questions for this one. The first three or four really deal with Scripture. And again, just kind of reiterate what we were talking about last week. This isn't about feeling guilty that you're not doing more, or that, you know, you're not doing enough. You know, what is that magical number? You know, enough. But it is to ask you, well, how often am I in Scripture?
Right.
And when I'm in Scripture, what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, is it just checking in with a verse here or there every now and then? Is it working through a longer piece of Scripture and trying to get as much done as possible mm-hmm. to check it off my list? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, kind of an informed plan or approach? Is it just haphazard? I mean, it's just an opportunity for you to ask yourself, how am I doing with that? And then, you know, one of the questions later we'll talk about, and we can get into it in a few minutes, but the idea of, in addition to doing it on your own and just spending that time with just you and God, and listening to God
right.
through His Word, are you having the opportunity to get together in a Bible study or small group to share with others what you've learned, but also to hear how God has worked with them in that same Scripture,
right?
And what the Spirit taught them, and that's key. That's one of the reasons I always use. Some people have asked me over the years, you know, why don't you just sort of lecture for your Bible studies instead of having, study guides,
mm-hmm.
and I could do that, but I really believe there's value we can't even possibly imagine when we just get alone with God mm-hmm. and work through our study guide, dig into Scripture for ourselves, hopefully in a prayerful manner,
right?
Asking the Spirit to really lead that time, and then when we all get back together, to share the insights that we've learned from Scripture. And every now and then, you know, maybe we need to be challenged. Maybe somebody's a little off, you know. Mm-hmm. But I find more often than not, by far, the insights that other people share when I'll ask them one of the questions in the study guide, and we'll read the Scripture together, and they come in with an insight. I read the very same Scripture and didn't even come close to that, and it's correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the beauty of it, is that while there may be one understanding of what, you know, for example, Paul may be teaching, mm-hmm. the application
is countless.
That yeah. is amazing in ways that I just, it's like, wow, I didn't even see that. And that just enriches my own faith. So I just think it's an important, again, back to that both and, mm-hmm. you know, study it for yourself, but then come and share what you've learned. And I've also learned over the years, if I can share something with others that I've learned,
right,
it sort of fixes it in my mind more. And I'm able to better remember it and then hopefully better apply it.
Well, it's to the point of not only is He doing something this way, you know, mm-hmm. vertically with us, but He's enacting it with one another. Mm-hmm. And I think we're designed to be in relationship
right.
with Him and with one another. So it's like He's saying, okay, watch this. I'm going to teach you something
right.
With someone sitting right next to you. And He's saying, there you go. And that's how I'm going to do things. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, he reveals things to us all the time, mm-hmm. but he loves to do it in the context of a relationship.
Yeah.
So this little study, if you're doing it, it's great to take inventory by yourself and have some real honest time with God. And this is meant for just that.
Right.
It's even better to be able to share this. And it's like, hey, Dale, let me tell you about this, that I need to, I'm struggling with this question. And I, you know, I'm not there or whatever it is, because God really presses into and strengthens us as we even put ourselves in position where it's like, hey, I don't have it all together.
You know, one of the interesting questions, the fourth one for this week's topic is, are your doubts and questions being answered? If yes, how? And if not, in what areas do you need help? It's sort of just an open, I mean, in one sense, there's a yes or no answer, but probably...
Another sense, a can of worms.
Yeah, another, and exactly. But that's a great conversation for a group of... like, what do you think he means in that question? Even that's a question worth asking. Mm-hmm. What doubts or questions is he talking about? Or someone may say very quickly, yeah, I don't get this. In fact, a couple of the questions later will allude to, how's your understanding of the basic doctrines of the Christian faith? Mm-hmm. Salvation.
Who's he?
Yeah. You know, salvation, who is God,
right.
Jesus, all the rest. Mm-hmm. Basic Christian doctrine that I think sometimes we can feel like, I'm supposed to know this, so I'm a little embarrassed to say I don't. Mm-hmm. But hopefully when you're doing this in a whatever group you've chosen, it's a safe place for you to say, I don't really get this. Mm-hmm. And then that's the opportunity for folks to come around and say, well, let's talk about that. Or if you don't have time in that particular setting, let's get together later for lunch. Let's talk about this. Or, you know what? I just read a great book by, you know, this great trusted Christian author who really laid that out in a really understandable way. So it gives the opportunity for more fellowship,
right?
But more study and learning in the context of helping one another out. You know, when you think about all the one another's in the New Testament, we always think of praying for one another, forgiving one another, caring for one another, but teaching one another is also in there as well. And if you feel like, well, who am I to teach somebody else? Mm-hmm. But maybe you've read something that helped you, and whoever wrote that book, maybe they were called to do some teaching, and you can just come alongside the other person and say, well, hey, let's read through this together.
Right.
So it gives more opportunity. So it doesn't have to be just that one setting. It can continue to play a part in your life.
Oh, well, the great thing is, once that conversation begins, you really don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
But again, knowing that God is, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, initiating something within both of us to take us somewhere where when we follow Him, we don't really know where we're ending up, but it's in a good place.
That's right.
The main thing is to have the conversation.
Right.
And both personally and be honest with God and be honest with one another. And out of that, good things happen. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say, you know, I really don't know what you're talking about, even with that question, or I've never really studied that. So there's the point of this is maybe just to kick some stones and look at some places in our lives that maybe need and maybe never have been addressed or talked about. It's a great place to begin the conversation.
That's an important idea. And, you know, I don't want anyone to think of this as, you know, getting beat up because they're not where they maybe ought to be, where they want to be, where people tell them they ought to be. But at the same time, and I think this is important, and again, I was just sharing this with someone I was talking to last night, I also don't want us to have this idea of, well, I'm fine where I am. And I've been a Christian for X amount of years, and I'm good. I just don't think that's the biblical model. I think God wants us to continue to grow. I mean, I don't think you can read Scripture and come away with another idea on that. He wants us to continue to grow, which includes the life of our mind in Christ. It's certainly which we'll get to in a few weeks, you know, the idea of loving others. What does that look like? How do we serve others? And by the way, this is a way to love others. You know, we don't want to say that that's just for service projects or outreach or something. Mm-hmm, you know, helping somebody else grow in their understanding of who Christ is.
Right.
Good gracious. That's one of the most loving things you can do. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, we want to go on to maturity. We want to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. There's never a point in this life where we cross the end zone and spike the football and say, good, I'm done growing.
Right.
It's a continual lifelong pursuit. And that's what text, I want this to come from.
Right. I thought of the text, even as you're saying that, as love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And really, this is pressing into and receiving the great God, the love that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And the consequences of that are really we see people differently. And they benefit from us having a closer, more intimate relationship with God. So it really allows us to love people better as we're more honest and transparent with our God.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and since this is the intellectual life, one of the phrases, I think I even mentioned this at the end of last week's podcast, but it really is the idea of garbage in, garbage out, or good stuff in, good stuff out. And, you know, the phrase that, you know, as a man thinks, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes into play here that we're to think on certain things, Paul tells us in Philippians 4, and then go and put them into practice.
Right.
You know, the things that we've seen in Scripture, put them into practice, but that's after we think on certain things. So how our mind is shaped will give shape to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an important thing. And most importantly, as our minds are shaped, and if they're shaped according to Scripture, then we love God more.
Yeah,
you know, then we.
That's good. Did you make that up?
I just came up with it on
that
the fly.
That is amazing. Mark that down. That's good.
And I just think that that's just an important idea. And I was thinking on the way over here, in fact, as I was walking over, I said, you know, there is no reason in the year 2017 that anybody ought to be without a resource for growing and learning.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, there are so many things online.
Oh, yeah.
So many free things online. I mean, you don't have to spend a cent.
Right.
And you can learn and grow. And then, of course, all the things we've been talking about. I think all this, I mean, really, if anything, when it comes to all that, I suffer from the paralysis of analysis. You know, it's like, what do I start with? Because there's so much good stuff out there. But so... if you feel stuck, if you feel like, I should be growing, I just don't even know where to start, and you know, you can certainly talk to the folks in your small group if you're doing it in that context, but if you're not, don't hesitate to get in touch with us or a trusted Christian friend who you know is growing and ask them, what are you reading or what are you listening to or is there anything online you're watching?
Right.
I think all those things help contribute to us growing in Christ.
And you've got some great resources on your website, daletedder.com. That help folks step into, like, here you go. If you want to read the Bible, some great resources for that.
Right.
I'd like to know more about some of these key theology ideas.
Right.
Great resources for that. And so, there's plenty of things out there. I think it's more us deciding.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And step by step. And again, Lent is a great opportunity for that. We're more... as a people thinking about like this time, this season of turning back to what's important.
Right.
And this is timely, but it's timeless as well, isn't
it? Right.
This ongoing process of getting back to what's important every day, really.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's a year-round pursuit, but I'm grateful for seasons like Lent or the Advent season where it just focuses our attention a little bit more than usual. And it's not magic, but it is just a helpful... I think it's a means of grace, where it can be a great resource or tool, to reset, to maybe repent and reset, and move in the direction that we need to be moving. And this is not a thou shalt kind of thing where you know someone's wagging their finger at you, telling you you better do this. Hopefully, if you work through this spiritual life checkup in a prayerful, you know, serious manner, the Holy Spirit will do all the convicting and encouraging needed.
That's right.
Yes, there are brothers and sisters in Christ to cheer you on and help you out, but don't underestimate the power of the Spirit in this.
Right. That's right. So to summarize, this, I think, was both challenging and encouraging at the same time, because that's how God works. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much right where we are. He accepts us where we are, but loves us so much that he doesn't leave us where we are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he right. leads us to the places that he has prepared for us. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we're like, wait a second, I'm comfortable here, mm-hmm. but I have something better. He's yeah. always working in that kind of framework. So like you said earlier, what is it that we are consuming and either intentionally or unintentionally on a daily basis in our lives that informs or shapes us? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing this little book, it's chock full of challenge. And so we encourage you to take advantage of it during this Lenten time and to really, really be honest. That's what the point of this.
Right.
Both with yourself and with your Creator, because he knows this right. The situation better right. than we do, by the way.
You might as well be honest.
It's just much easier, quicker. So we encourage you to press into it and really look at where God is leading you. And we're looking forward to next week as we talk about it some more.
Look forward to it.
Have a great week.
You too. Still recording. It stopped after 3 minutes.